We've been in the book of Colossians for you that haven't been with us, and I just thought this morning, what would be more fitting than just reading some of the things that we've already been in as we remember again what Christ has done, what he's promised us, what he's given us through his sacrifice on the cross. Let's remember that this morning. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. What a section, huh? That's awesome. And skipping over to where Dave's going to have us this morning. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Amen. As our habit is here, we have the elements here before us this morning. Please come and partake. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we don't have to be a member, but we do ask that you're a believer in Jesus Christ this morning. If you're not, just don't come up. It's not a race. It's not nothing. No one's going to look at you. But know for sure, is Jesus the one who has given you his righteousness through faith in him this morning? If he is, we ask you to partake. We'll take the elements, we'll go back to our seats, and we'll take it together and do that this morning. Thank you. So on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And after he had broken it, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. And as often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you do it, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the shed blood of Christ. Thank you for your broken body on the cross, that in that we could have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We love you and we praise you for it today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you with humble hearts. Lord, we are truly thankful that we can come and commune with you, that we can be close to our Lord and Savior, that having partaken in your death, praise Lord, we can participate in your resurrection, Lord, the defeating of death. Lord, all the praise is to you. Lord, we come to you, some of us with heavy hearts, with burdens and concerns. Lord, you tell us that we are to bring those to your feet, that we are to bring our anxieties, our cares, and cast them upon you because you care for us. So Lord, we do that this morning. We look at the bulletin with the list of prayer requests. Lord, we give those to you. We lift up Pastor Tevin and his family. Lord, as you continue to work in their lives with just logistics of moving such a great distance, Lord, I pray that you would be even more working in their lives spiritually, preparing them for what you have in store, and preparing our hearts as a church in the next chapter of this church's life, and that we would continue to glorify you, that our eyes would continually be on the cross and spreading your gospel to those that do not know you. So Lord, I lift up the rest of this morning, and I pray that you would speak through Dave as he brings your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts and allow us to receive your word. So Lord, I ask this all in your Son's name. Amen.
Down.
I'll sit down here. So how's everybody today?
Good.
Okay.
What is it?
We're going to start off this morning. We're going to read a passage out of the Bible. Okay? Okay. This is from Colossians. I can get my mic to stay where it belongs. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay.
Okay,
that was short.
That was short. I have something in my little sack. I have in my sack. Do you all like something sweet?
Yes, but I don't like coffee.
Oh, you don't like coffee? Okay. Well, anyway. There are different kinds of things people put in food and coffee that are sweet. There's this one, which is sugar.
Yep.
Where's sugar come from? Cows. No. Sugar comes either from sugar cane or sugar beets. Okay. It's a natural sugar we find in those things. But there are artificial sweeteners. This one says it's a low-calorie sweetener. And this one, if you read on the package, it says if you really want it to be sweet, you have to add sugar because this isn't very sweet. And then there's this other one here that it's another kind.
Candy
canes. Yeah, it's got candy canes on the package. And it, if you do some research on this one, it says it may not be very healthy to use it. But, so anyway, we have three different kinds. One is real, and two are imitations. And as we believe in Jesus, there are some Christians out there that are real. And there are some Christians out there that, well, they're not really very sweet at all. Yeah. And when the going gets tough, sometimes you can really tell which is which. And then there are some out there that, well, they may not really be good for you. So, but we want to be Christians that are very good, and we want to follow Jesus so that he understands and so that everybody around us can understand why we believe in Jesus. Okay? Now, I have something else for you to take. And but I want you to remember, when you take this and you eat this, you have to remember that being truly sweet and truly a Christian is what we need to do. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So reach in the sack, grab one. Oh, one at a time.
Yeah, no, this is candy.
No.
If you take one, that's all you get. Whatever you get is what you.
Come on, move your. I don't even know what I'm getting. I got that. Okay, bye bye. Okay, my hand is here.
There you go.
Which
Tootsie
one?
Mine. That's yours.
Test. Am I on? Cool. How's everybody doing? Good? All right, let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we bless and praise you today. We thank you for your mercy in our lives. We thank you, O Lord, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Father in heaven, that we can be here. We ask, O Lord, that we would see Jesus, that we would know that we've been in your presence, that you would touch each one of our hearts. We pray for your word that would go forth, O Lord, declaring and doing what you want. We commit this time into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Okay, so today we are in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. If you would turn there, we're going to be in Colossians 2, verses 6 to 23. So, just a couple things. The book of Colossians, we began with Frank, did an overview, kind of a general overview of that, and who they were, where they were at, their town, Paul's relationship with them. Some of the situations that were going on there, the false teachers, Judaizers, Christ, and something else you have to have. And so he gave us a little bit of an overlook of what and why Paul was writing this book to them. And then we had Sonny share. Sonny did a wonderful job with the exposition of who Christ is and what he's done. And some of those verses there are just absolutely endless if we were to go back and read them, who Jesus Christ is and all that he's done. And it's a great portion of scripture if you need to talk to someone about who really is Jesus Christ. And then Keith, of course, continued on in 1 Colossians and a little bit of 2nd. And he talked about Christ in us. Paul's revelation of the mystery, which is an open secret in the scriptures, of the Gentiles being included. And Paul was called to that ministry, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now we come to Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6 to 23. And I want to read a couple verses in Colossians 1, though. Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And then verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul understood something. Paul understood not only was the church at Colossae, they had some problems and difficulties, and they had teachers coming in and wanted them to teach them about philosophy and, you know, Christ and you need to do this and some of the law. But Paul also had a vision and a purpose of what God wanted to do with his people. And that two scriptures there, that we would be presented. That we would be presented. And the only thing that comes to my mind is when a bride is presented to the groom. It's a wonderful picture. And we're not going to go through all of that and everything, but I just want to get the idea that Paul's perspective in light of God's people is someday they are going to be presented. It's the goal or the end game, so to speak. He understood this and it motivated him. Verse 29, it says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And we see here, how do I look at the person next to me? What do I want for them? What is it that I want for one another and for myself? Is it to be presented in that day? Or do I just want them to do something that I want them to do so I feel a little better about their life? Or is there an end game? Is there something down the future, down the way, when Christ comes back? Will they be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they going to be, are we going to be presented a certain way? And so he says some things here in Colossians chapter 2. And this is what I want to talk about in verse 6. Verses 6 and 7, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. Now, did you know that this world is not our own? This world is not where we want to dig in. As a Christian, we have given our life to the Lord, and he has said, I'm preparing something for you. Now, I'm 64 years old, and you know what I think about a little more than I ever have? Dying. Okay? When you get to be my age, you're now the old people at the family reunions. Remember the family reunions when people, when your aunts and uncles, you go, wow, well, they're old. Well, I'm there. I don't have any aunts and uncles left. My parents left. Okay? Actually, a couple of my siblings have already passed away. And it's like, What's life all about? And your whole perspective begins to change. And Paul saw, listen, presented. Presented. So therefore, he tells them, walk you in him. Walk in Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to talk about today. To walk in him. The whole of our activities of an individual life. In other words, we are to make Christ in our lives in everything. If we really think about it, what else is going to matter today? If you die with a full bank account, what in the world did that matter to you? If you die with being some prestigious person in this world, what does that matter without Christ in our life? Without walking in Christ. Is Christ everything? Is he the center of all we do? Is he the center? You know, we're made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. Okay? Body, soul, and spirit. And if you take a circle and you divide those in thirds, body, soul, spirit, there we are. And we're not going to get into each one of those, how they're related to the world and one another and everything. But then in the middle of that circle, there's one of two individuals that are there. It is either self or it is Christ. Which brings a ton of questions into my mind. If you're a believer, can self be in control of your life? Personally, I believe yes. Christ is still in that body, soul, and spirit. He's still in our lives. The free gift of salvation is there. We'll never lose it. But is Christ in control? Are we walking in Christ today? Or are we just Christians by name? I got saved, now I'm a Christian. Paul's desire is that there would be a reality of Christ in our life. And so he tells them, and they're Christians, walk in him. Walk in him. To walk in Christ is to have him as the center of our lives. The NIV puts it this way: continue to live in him. One translation puts it this way: to regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Is this what I want for myself? Is this the burden and the desire that I would walk in Christ and that others would walk in Christ? You know, I was talking to a man one time, and he said, you know, I saw so-and-so in the parking lot of Walmart, and he claims to be a Christian, and he didn't take his cart back to the cart rack. Now think of that. Think, that's the idea, and we kind of chuckle about that, because we've all done it. Maybe not. The standard of Christianity is getting the cart back to the cart thing. Amen. Yeah. And we have a pet peeve if someone doesn't do it. They are not a Christian if they don't do that. Is that our end game? That each one of us bring our cart carefully and so it doesn't get stuck in the next cart, or, you know, we don't just jam it. Is that the end game we have for one another? Is that our burden? Or is it that we would walk with Christ and be presented on that day? Paul's desire and burden was something greater and higher. And we can have that too. We want to have that. Look there at verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you. How do we receive him? I don't know about you, but I know how I received him. Wasn't because I was good. I'm telling you what, and that's still not the case. It's because I believed by faith through grace. God called me to himself, praise God, heard the gospel, heard the good news of Jesus Christ dying for me. We're going to see that in this chapter just a little bit. But it was by faith. I believed. And you know what happens? We get saved, and then all of a sudden, we become like some of these Colossians and some of the men that were coming into that church at Colossae and say, you know what? Yeah, you got saved, but you need to do this also. And you need to do this, and you need to act like this, and you need to have this. And that is exactly how we are with one another sometimes. We determine their Christianity by if they're conformed to how I think they should live. That's how we are. I'm like that sometimes. I mean, you know, I look at my kids and I go, you know, they should be doing this and this and this and this. And they're grown adults, okay? My son's 42 years old. I'm still doing it with him. And that's how we are. God wants us to have a desire for each one of us that we would walk in him. And we began by faith through grace. We don't deserve it. Now look what it says in verse 7. This is where God is bringing us and what he's put in us. He says, rooted and built up in him. In other words, rooted is to dig in. It is to take root. Unmovable in living out my faith. Unmovable in living out my faith. Rooted. You know, Psalm 1 talks about the tree that's rooted, okay? And it bears and it goes forward. Rooted and built up in him. Growth and growing in our faith. Established in him. It says established in the faith. This takes time. And you know what it takes to be established in your faith? It simply takes the audacity to say, I am going to continue. I am going to continue. Because we're not perfect, and we sin, and we fall, and we come short, and so do other better. But you know what? Do you know what we want to challenge and encourage one another to do? Just continue. I was meeting with a brother this week, and we were talking about our walk with the Lord, and I said, you know, the key here is just to continue. Even if you're crawling into the kingdom of God, you're continuing. That's how we get established, as we continue. You know, I've been in business for 45 years. We are an established business, and my sons are glad for that, because they don't have to go through what I went through years and years and years ago, and the time and the hours and the problems and, you know, stealing from Peter to pay Paul and little red things in the books. They don't experience any of that because we're established business now and they've moved into that. But it took time and it takes going. But what it takes is, I am going to go no matter what. Now look what this says also in verse 7. As you have been taught, okay, we need to be taught. We don't know it all. Even when you get older, you don't know it all. I was talking with my son the other day. My son has just a wonderful way of bringing things out in me. And I think he does it on purpose sometimes. Matter of fact, I know he does. But you know what? I'm still being taught. I have to walk away sometimes going, yeah, he was right. That's true. You don't like it, but you could admit it. Being taught. And then I like this, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Am I content today? That's a good question. Am I content with having something to eat and something to wear? Doesn't even say about owning a house or vehicle. Am I content? That's a great question. But that's where God wants to bring us. Because, you know, along with contentment comes this, abounding in thanksgiving. We are thankful, the true result of our faith, an attitude of gratitude and growing gratitude. We are very thankful to walk in him. Have you ever talked to someone, you know what? You know they've been through some things. They've had a difficult life, okay? And you've gone through some things with them, but you know what? They're so thankful. The gratitude just oozes out of them. It's because they're with Christ. They walk in Christ. Now, in this portion of Scripture, we're going to talk about three things in light of walking in Christ. We're going to talk about alive. We are alive in Him. Okay? We are alive in Him. We are free in Him. And we are subject in Him. The first one, we are alive in Him. We are alive in Him. Look what it says there in verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. We are alive. The King James uses it, quickened. Other translation says, God has made you alive. He's brought you to life. God brought you alive right along with Christ. We've been seated in heavenly place. We've been given the life of Christ within us. Now, this chapter deals with some different problems. And these problems come because of what? Verse 8, beware lest any man, verse 16, let no man therefore, verse 18, let no man be God. The problems come, and they're different because of man, of who we are. And we like to blame people for our problems, don't we? Especially spouses. Well, she didn't do that, I wouldn't be like baloney. That's what I have to say about that. We are who we are no matter what. However we respond, no matter what we do, we are who we are. We don't have, people blame everybody else for all kinds of things. It's not that there weren't things here that had to be dealt with and, you know, the problem was mankind, the philosophy of mankind, the vain deceit, the traditions, rituals, rudiments, and principles of the world, legalists, certain commandments they wanted you to stay with, angelic worship, mediators, mysticism, self-serving, I am something, arrogancy, and pride. These things are all in this chapter. If we look into those. And Paul was bringing them up, but he was also bringing them up to bring God's people to something different. That which combats it. That which just nullifies it. And that is to what? It's to walk in Him. And the first thing we see is God has made us alive. He has given us a new life. Our life is in Jesus Christ. And we see there in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, sin, the natural state of man, leads to one place, death. Sin doesn't lead to anything good, okay? It just doesn't. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 21, there's nothing good about sin. Never leads anywhere good. And we're sinners. Christ died for us, and He's made us alive. Has He quickened or made alive together with Him? It is the gift of God. Salvation is the free gift of God. It cannot be taken away from us. It cannot. And He's made us alive. And I am thankful for that. Do you feel alive today? Walk in Him. You will feel alive. Even if your body is sore. Okay, it's another thing about getting older. You know, I wake up and this is sore and this is and this is and this is and this is. And, you know, it's like, I wish I had one of those machines, you know, those things you see on science fiction things. You just step in, you know, all this liquid comes up and all of a sudden your body is just perfect again. Doesn't happen that way. Even though our physical state, we're still alive. And we can know it and experience it. But what's really cool here, look what it says. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Sin is forgiven. The blood of Christ shed for all mankind, for all sins. We acquire this forgiveness. How? By coming to Him. When we came to Him and gave our life to Jesus Christ, what did He do? Gave us a clean slate. There it is. It's clean. I'm amazed. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. My past life, it's God took care of it. All that sin, everything that leads to death. He died on the cross. He took it to the cross with Him. And I've been forgiven. But then you know what we do? We walk in this world, we get our feet dirty, don't we? We get some sin. You know, Frank and I were talking this morning about the drywallers. You know, they're walking through the place in here and there's dirt all over, you know. And that's what happens with our sin on our feet. We leave it everywhere sometimes. We need to take care of it. Well, in 1 John 1 says, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to what? Forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. Do I understand that? Absolutely not. Do I believe it? Absolutely yes. Yes. Jesus Christ has taken care of our sins. The blood of the Lamb is there for us. Our life in Him, verse 9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay? Our life in Him, we have everything that we need in Him. Verse 10, and you are complete in Him. Complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are brought to fullness, spiritual stature, maturity. All we need is Him again. Verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The old is off, the new is on, the outer layer is gone, it's taken away. The sins of the flesh put off. We are now identified with Him. Circumcision was a sign of identification. These are my people. He's brought us from here to here. And then verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein you also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised Him from the dead. We're buried with Him, risen in Him. We have been given Christ's life, resurrection life. When we were born again, we were given life. We gave our life to Him. We are now identified with Him. We have life. We are alive in Him. We have eternal life in Him. Did you know you have eternal life right now? Right now. If you've given your life to Jesus, you have eternal life. In 1 John it says, you know you have eternal life. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, despite how bad I was and the things I've done and who I am, there's one thing that I knew. I have eternal life. No one can take that away from me. And we could go on about what that's going to look like and what it looks like now, but we have eternal life. And in a sense, we'll never die. Okay? In a sense, we will never die. Or maybe experience death the way those that don't have eternal life will experience it. Now, there's a lot we could say about that. We're not going to get into that because that involves a lot of different things. All right. So, second thing, free in Him. We're free in Him. Hallelujah. We are free in Him. Verses 14 to 17 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or drink or respect of holiday or of a new moon or Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. We are free in Him. The ordinances have been nailed to the cross. That certificate of death, it was nailed to the cross, canceled the written code. In other words, all of our guilt and all of our shame and everything that we deserve, taken and nailed to the cross. because we could not attain to the righteousness of God on our own. We could not fulfill the law. We could not fulfill the commandments. We cannot be perfect in and of ourselves. We were condemned because we could not in any way keep the laws, the ordinances, the decrees against us. We were guilty. Christ took this to the cross, making us free. Do you believe that? I believe it. We've been set free. You know? And slavery. Okay? You know, we're slaves. Slaves to sin, so to speak, you could say. And men and women used to be sold on the, what they called a slave block. They put them up on this block of wood, and then people would bid on them. Okay? And they would pay for them. And that's what's happened with us. We've been put on the sale block, and Jesus Christ paid for us. Now, what they did with slaves, they brought them in and incorporated them into their home as slaves in various ways and different things. But what Christ did, you know what he did? He set us free. Like the man that buys this little gal on the slave block, and she's been through a lot in her life, pays totally for her, cleans her up, gives her everything she needs, and now says, you're free to go. That's what Christ has done for us. He says, you're free. You are absolutely free to go. And he made a public display, look at there, and having spoiled principality and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Total defeat of the enemy. All has been done. It is finished. We are no longer to live in the bondage of the law. And this example here, making a total display, it's like a king goes into some place and conquers them, and he parades them, the prisoners, and that old king down the road so everybody can see that it's been a complete victory. And that's what Jesus Christ did there on the cross. He conquered death. He conquered the enemy. He made an open show. He used the weapon of the enemy to defeat him, death itself. Therefore, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holiday or of new moon or of the Sabbath day. We are free to do as we please, not subject to the practices of the law, free from the performance of external display of the law. We don't have to pretend. We're free from that. You know, you don't have to be around me very long, live in my home to know what I'm really like. Okay? You just don't. I don't want to pretend who I am. I want to be the Lord's everywhere I'm at. I want to walk in Him, whether it's at work, school, home, neighbors, family, friends. It really doesn't matter who you're. And you know, the older I get, there's a part of me that goes, I really don't care if people don't like it if I'm a Christian. It just doesn't bother me like it used to when I was 15 and 16. I don't care. I want to walk in Him. He is the reason. He's the one. He's the one that makes all the difference. I'm His. And we see there in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body or the substance is of Christ. It all belongs to Him. The reality is in Christ. Have I done that? Am I that? And then we see subject. Subject in Him. And this last portion of scripture, verse 18, it goes on. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which are not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. Okay? It says there, reward in a voluntary, it'll beguile you, okay? The reward is in jeopardy. Now, this is not salvation. I don't believe it's salvation. Different translations put it different way. Beguile you of your reward, deframing you of your prize, disqualifying you for the prize, declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize. We will be tested, and the pressure will be put on us. The return to the mere order appearance of Christianity, a false humility, angelic misunderstanding, mystical endeavors, self-value. I am somebody. And we see, and we can go through the last portion of Scripture, and we can see all these. And Paul's saying, don't return to these things. Don't go back to them. In Galatians, it says, who beguiled you that you started off in faith, but now you're living according to a certain rule or regulation or law? And the question I have for myself is, what rule and regulation do I live by that I look at others and I think that their standard should be the same? That's what's going on here. There's men going, hey, you know, you need to worship angels like we do. We're pretty smart. We have a certain philosophy. You know what? And we've got the corner on the market on mysticism, okay? And really just spiritual know-it-all. Paul says, listen, you're subject to something different than that in Christ. And we see here in verses 20 and 23, it says here, where if you be dead from Christ, the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using. They're going to pass away after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom. And it's an outer appearance. It's a show. That's exactly what it is in wisdom and worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. No value. But we are free to be subject. Did you know that? So this girl on the slave block, who this wealthy person purchased for a lot of money, cleaned her up, said, you can go. And she says, no. I am going to serve you. I am going to be subject to you for the rest of my life. In the Old Testament, you know what they did? Put your ear, took it up to a door, boom, pounded a nail through it. If you said, I want to stay here and I want to serve you. We are to walk in Christ. We're free. We are alive. And walking in Christ is to be subject to Him. Look what it says there in verse 19. And he says, and not holding the head. Well, you could take that and not, just move it all away for a moment. Holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Subject of Christ, to hold the head, nourished, held together, a camaraderie, okay? There's a growing and an increase and a moving forward and a walking in Christ. Who likes to be subject to someone? Anybody? It's just the most wonderful thing in the world to be subject to someone, isn't it? That's our natural tendency. We don't want to be subject to Christ. Because what does that mean? It means the reality of Him being Lord in our life. Moving about, doing His will. For His purpose. For His plan. But you got to remember, what He has for us is to be presented. Is to be with Him on that day. to be in his presence. And we could talk about that, what it's going to be like. It says we'll be like him. Be with him. Think about, you know, when I was, went out with my wife for the first time, there's this thing that rose up in me, okay? I just want to be with her. I still want to be with her after 42 years. You got to remember that, guys. I still want to be with her. And there was this thing, man, I just couldn't wait to see her. I couldn't wait to talk to her. I couldn't wait to hug her. I just couldn't wait. I just, you know, there was this, I mean, I was boiling over. Do I have that desire for the Lord Jesus today? To be with him. I want to challenge you to walk in him. To walk in him. Every part of our lives with Christ as the center. Every part? Yes, every part. Not just Sunday morning when we come here. Sunday afternoon when we're watching our football team lose. Sunday night. Monday morning when we go to work. All week long. With our spouse. In our business. With our money and our finances. Now that's something that we don't like touched. Is Christ the center of our belongings? And our home and our finances. Am I willing to just give it all to him? To walk by faith in grace. Rooted and built up, established in great gratitude. We are alive in him. God has made us alive. And he has taken care of our sins. We are free in him. The judgment and death and decree have been taken care of. Subject in him. We are subject to someone for something. We are free to choose to be subject to Christ. The question is, do I want to walk with him today? I'm going to answer that for you. Yes, you do. Say it. Yes, I do. I want to walk in him. Praise God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we bless and praise you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives. We thank you for this portion of scripture. And Lord, even though it's convicting in different ways, we thank you for your love and how you've come out to us. Death on the cross, taking it all and nailing it there. And Lord, all we need to do is believe you. We pray that we would be a company of believers here that would be holding the head, and that we'd be rooted together, and that we would be growing in Christ, and that we would be a congregation here that is so thankful and so grateful, not thinking someone else should be doing what I should be doing, but thinking and promoting faith in Christ by your grace. We bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we give you our lives today, Lord, our very hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.